The following podcast contains explicit language.
It is Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2015. This is a special episode of Slate Sports Podcast, Hang Up and Listen. You asked for it. We are providing it on Monday. We recorded, as per usual, talked about how Sepp Blatter was going to be ensconced in his fiefdom at FIFA for life. On Tuesday, not adhering to the Slate podcast publication schedule, the man announces that he is leaving. FIFA needs a profound overhaul, he said in French. So just imagine this being said in French. Well, I have a mandate from the membership of FIFA.
I can do a simultaneous translation, Josh.
Yeah, go for it. I do not feel that I have a mandate from the entire world of football.
I do not feel I have a mandate from the entire world of football.
The fans, the players, the clubs, the people who live, breathe, and love football.
The fans, the players, the clubs, the people who live and breathe football.
As much as we all do.
The
FIFA.
The FIFA.
So I don't want to hear either of you guys saying that this was inevitable.
Well, especially me.
Especially you. Were you struck dumb by this news, Mike?
Constructed a lot of elaborate mental defense mechanisms to explain it to myself. I guess it seems I have more questions than answers, and I won't be so egotistical to say that I had all the answers, but I was pretty skeptical because I looked at the timing of him going ahead with the vote, and I didn't understand why the Justice Department would allow the vote to happen, then announce prosecutions of him, which I think we have indications that direct prosecutions aren't going to happen. So I'm wondering what it took for him to step down. That's question one. Was it pressure from sponsors? What was the extra writing on the wall, the difference between Tuesday and Friday? That's question one. And question two is, you know, where or who do we go from here? And then question three is, what will make this meaningful? It won't be just a change of the guy at the top. Will it have to be Qatar being stripped of their World Cup? What else will make this meaningful reform? You guys take it from there.
I think there are one of three things, or some combination of these three things must have happened. Because look, on Friday, he was gloating. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was at his arms in the air. FIFA for all, FIFA forever. I am in charge of the world. And 3 days later, he is out on his ass and he is forced to do this. So I think one of three things happened. One, tremendous sponsor pressure. Mm-hmm. Similar to the Olympics, as I mentioned in 2002, that forced reform, but it would have had to have been concerted and enormous. Two, someone stepped forward, whether it's Michel Platini and the European soccer organizations and the rest of the developed world, and said, we have a business plan for a new organization and we are ready to move forward immediately. Not quite as likely, I don't think. Take some time, and there was tremendous dissension, I think, in the ranks already, so I don't think that was the answer. Three, and I think this is the most plausible thing, is that the feds closed in on Sepp Blatter, that the Justice Department told him, we are going to go after you, here are your options, and they aren't good ones, and your option to start is to resign and cooperate with us. And I think that's the most likely thing that could have happened. That's my speculation anyway.
Well, the thing that did happen after the presidential vote was that there was reporting that Jerome Valka, Blatter's number two, it seems like the reporting is pretty strong, is implicated directly the $10 million payment that went from the South African FA in connection to the 2010 World Cup. And that's just one step removed from Blatter. Valka was not on the initial list of folks who were indicted, but Stefan, do you think that is an indication that the feds are closing in on our man?
I'm not sure that it is, because frankly, I think once the feds start digging, they're going to find all kinds of things, and they already have, I'm sure, that get very close to Sepp Blatter and involve people in positions directly subordinate to him at FIFA. I don't think one letter addressed to him, you know, based on the arrogance that people like Blatter and others inside FIFA have displayed for years, I don't think this one letter would have deterred them from continuing on their course of empty rhetoric and denial. So I think there had to be something more. I mean, certainly from a public relations perspective, it was one more notch against FIFA. It was one more step by investigators in releasing this. But in the grand scheme of things, given the scope of what's gone on there over the last two decades, certainly since Blatter's been in charge, but four decades since the corruption really began, I don't see that would have been so much of a deterrent.
Yeah, so, you know, my question is, would Sepp Blatter have directly gotten his hands dirty? I mean, isn't he happy? I'm sure he gets paid. His salary's never been disclosed, but FIFA's making billions of dollars. I'm sure he gets paid healthily. Plus, they have all the expenses you could want. Plus, you know, why wouldn't he just let the underlings do it? How does it benefit him to actually make a bribe?
I'm not sure that Sepp Blatter ever made a bribe. I mean, a lot of the media reporting about Blatter is that, you know, he is charming. He is a facilitator. He's always managed to stay just this far removed from the actual, you know, passage of the envelope or the brown bag. But I don't think that exonerates him. I mean, I think that he still remains at the top of this organization for the last 20 years. And certainly federal investigators are smart enough and have the tools of the American justice system to go after the people that run organizations, not just the ones directly through whom the money passes.
Well, the thing that doesn't change, Mike, and which you were kind of focused on Monday, is the fact that the FIFA organizational structure remains the same. There are still 209 countries, each with a vote, meaning that the Blatter system of, you know, patronage, guns and butter and soccer fields to, you know, the Cayman Islands of the world, that would remain in place unless there was a massive restructuring, reorganization. What remains to be seen is whether that will happen, that Sepp Blatter was made into this boogeyman, into this figure of recalcitrance, the person who symbolized, you know, Stefan's sportocrat. But if someone else comes in this, you know, extraordinary FIFA committee in 4 months and just embodies his policies, then nothing will have changed. And I think even though this is an amazing day, one that we never thought would happen, it's not really a fundamental change yet into how this organization operates.
I agree. And I think that what we saw after Blatter's video ended and the other guy from FIFA took over, Scala, his statements seem to me to be those of an organization trying to protect itself as much as possible, saying anything it could to prevent FIFA from entirely being shuttered. We are going to reform. There's going to be this. We're going to be that. We think there should be we think there should be term limits. We think there should be independence. We think there should be transparency. These were sort of desperate statements, I thought, on the part of an organization clinging to life. And I think what we're going to see now is whether those things are allowed to be put into place. I mean, what FIFA was doing is saying, hey, we've got a plan, which is what FIFA always has said. But now there's so much oversight. There's so many eyes on FIFA that plan better be implemented by people whom the entire world believes is trustworthy. And they still have the U.S. Department of Justice looking over their shoulders. And it seems to me that the only reason that Sepp Blatter would have flipped so quickly is that the feds were closing in and they told him to take a deal. I wouldn't be shocked if we find out that Sepp Blatter is pleading or cooperating with the Justice Department.
Or maybe it's just, Sepp, you're 79. What is the quality of your life going to be over these next half dozen years? Every press conference you give, you'll be dogged by this. Take a payout, retire into the town of Visp or wherever you want to go, and we'll give you tickets to every match.
The fact that he won the election, it doesn't seem like this was his plan all along, but it is kind of like a fuck you in a way. It's like, I won this election, I'm going to quit, but you know what? I could have run this organization for my entire life if I had wanted to, and I'm just choosing to walk away on my own terms. I was never voted out, still undefeated, still champion of the world. Sepp Blatter, go fuck yourself, DOJ.
I think I disagree completely. This guy has been the pinnacle of arrogance, of cluelessness. I mean, you watch him speak, especially in English, and you just can't believe that this sort of delusional fool is running the world's most popular sport, or rather than running it, is allowed to continue to run the world's most popular sport. I can't believe that over the weekend, he would suddenly decide of his own volition that I'm better off quietly going into retirement in Visp than I am retaining my stranglehold on power over the beautiful game. He's never shown any indication that he's willing to give in to logic and reason and the pleas of an entire world that watches the sport.
Maybe he just wanted to hang on in time for the U.S. release of United Passions. The FIFA movie starring Tim Roth.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he can't come to the premiere, though. It's
no.
sad.
Does Qatar get stripped of the World Cup?
Stefan, thoughts?
Yes.
Really? Who gets
yes.
it?
Yes.
Who gets it?
Yes. I don't know who gets it. Australia maybe as a compromise candidate, since the United States taking it would look too blatantly obvious in the wake of the Justice Department's initiating these investigations.
And one final question for me, Stefan. Is it possible?
It is so possible. It was possible. We did it, Josh. We did it for the sake of football, for the sake of the children. It is possible.
Come see United Passions in a theater near you.
I think I think I went Sesame Street count on that one a little bit.
This was a special episode of Hang Up and Listen featuring Sepp Blatter, the Count, Mike Pesca, Stefan Fatsis. Thank you to Joel Meyer. And that's it. We'll talk to you on our regularly scheduled time next Monday.
I'm David Plotz. This week on the Slate Political Gabfest, a sneaky little Supreme Court case that could really help Republicans. Look for us in the Slate store on iTunes or at slate.com/podcasts.